for security? There's a ton of content out there, and if you don't know where to start, it can be overwhelming, even paralyzing. So let's fix that. Welcome to Simply Cyber, a community of tens of thousands of aspiring and active cybersecurity professionals focused on networking, knowledge sharing, and professional development. I'm Dr. Gerald Osher, Chief Content Creator at Simply Cyber, inviting you to get the answers to your cybersecurity problems with hundreds of cybersecurity videos answering your frequently asked questions, interviewing industry experts, and live streaming daily cyber threat briefings hosted by me. Now get the stories and insights you won't find anywhere else. Hit subscribe now and dig into all the fresh content on the channel and in the community. Nothing should stop you from launching and leveling up your cybersecurity career today. All right. Good morning, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Today is Monday, April 22nd, 2024. This is episode number 605 of Simply Cyber's Daily Cyber Threat Brief Podcast. I am your host, Dr. Gerald Osher, coming to you from the Proof of Life cabin on the Great Left Coast in the morning over here. So all my Left Coast people, hashtag Team SC on the Left Coast, whether you're Arizona, Colorado, California, actually Colorado might be mountain time. I digress. It's good to see y'all. We got a great show for you. James McQuiggan's up in this house with 16 months straight. James McQuiggan, love it, love it, love it. Where's my, there it is. All right, guys, we got a great show for you. I'm just kind of getting sorted and situated here at the new command post here. All right, we got a great show for you. Over the next 45 minutes, me, you, Marcus Kyler, Alpha Sierra, Space Tacos for sure, Robert Linares, Kimberly Can Fix It, Jesse Johnson and the mod team, Kimberly on the couch, DJ B-Sec in transit to drop off tech stacks, Jamie Fleck coming in hot. It's been a minute, Jamie. Good to see you guys. We're all going to be doing it, shredding the top cybersecurity news stories, whether it's Flying Meme, Chris Whitlock, Augusta Delgado, Jay and Michelle. Guys, we're all going to be shredding it over the next 45 minutes, and I'll be giving my expert opinion and analysis on each of those stories on what it means to you as a practitioner. So how can you use this information to drive cyber risk reduction for your business stakeholders? Or if you're looking to break into the industry like some of you are going to get massive value from the stream. But you might be like, how am I going to get massive value from the stream? Trust me, you're going to be asked in any single job interview, how do you stay current on the industry? This is a phenomenal answer. On top of that, just getting exposed to concepts, terminology, threat actors, like you're going to start to notice repeats and echoes and macro level strategy stuff. And it's just really, really good. And as if that wasn't enough to back the Brinks truck up and or back the RV up and park it and become like, you know, a regular homesteader here. The networking, people, is exceptional. The networking is exceptional. We got Divine Dream Divine, Monty J, Mr. Green Reads, Kerry Evans, alum. Like, just, guys, say hello. If you're new here, say hello. If you're a long-timer, say what's up. Marcus Kyler and the Yeet Crew. Like, dude, it just keeps going. It just keeps going. I did spend quite a bit of time last night after I got into the hotel at 1:30 in the morning dialing in the Simply Cyber mobile studio. So I'm hoping for a smooth experience for everybody today. So, you know, keep me honest, if you can, mods, you know, it's always an adventure when I'm on the mobile studio. Now, before we get into it, I do want to say shout out and thanks to the stream sponsors, starting always with my good friend, Eric Taylor and the squad over at Barricade Cyber Solutions. Listen, Barricade Cyber Solutions is dedicated to, helping businesses from cyber attacks and recover from the damage done. Cyber attacks can cause massive issues for businesses. I'm talking wear your brown pants to work that day. And they send dedicated, hardworking business owners into turmoil. But guess what? Barricade Cyber Solutions knows how to mitigate the damage done by cyber incidents. Believe that. Check them out at barricadecyber.com. Links in the description below. I'm super pumped. Guys, oh, hey, thanks, JK Illadelph. Guys, I got one more sponsor to talk to you about before we just drop into the half pipe and do X Game style 720s and, you know, McTwists and whatnot, going back into the 90s. Priceless Pancake dropping, hold on. Priceless Pancake, I hit the wrong button. Drop in squad membership love. Let's go. All right, guys, really quick. Some of you know that I've been doing this delete me stuff. I've been enjoying it, so I'm going to continue to do it. All right, so here's the read. Listen, many of you know, this is episode 605. I've kind of built a public persona that is directly me. It's not like an alter identity. I'm not wearing like a mask or whatever. And I do share my honest opinions and hot takes. I do try to help everybody, but I do get people from time to time who don't like my style or don't like my takes. And it's really easy to find my personal information online. I am at the mobile studio right now, so you'd have a tough time finding me right now. But in general, it is easy to find me. So I recently found a solution, and it's a service called Delete Me. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal info from the largest people databases on the web and actually can help you prevent like ID theft, doxing, phishing scams, etc. So when you call, when you sign up for Delete Me, the data you want, you give them the data you want deleted. So for me, I did all my data. Like, just here it is. Take all of it, please. Delete it from the internet. Thank you very much. But you get to choose, and they take care of it, which is really cool. It's a personalized privacy report you get every month showing you what info they found, what they deleted, where it is in progress. Some of these data brokers suck, where like you have to request it and then go through a period of time before they'll remove it, which is totally hogwash, if I had to use a term that is appropriate for Kennedy. So the cool thing is, in my favorite part, they do all the work for you. It's a managed service, basically. And it's fairly affordable, but if you want to save an extra 20%, you take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me. Now at the special discount for Simply Cyber listeners, you can get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/simplycyber and use the promo code SimplyCyber at checkout. Listen, guys, the only way to get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/simplycyber and enter code SimplyCyber at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/simplycyber. And I think there's a link in the description below as well. Seriously, I know I'm like sharing this Simply this Delete Me service, but it really is kind of a turnkey situation. If you did not know, we're about to go through, eight cyber stories of the day. It's going to be epic. Good morning to Jenny Housley. Good morning, Jenny Housley. Good to see you. I don't prep or research for any of these stories. Honestly, I don't have time for that. I don't have time to like research and prep. So I'm constantly reading, consuming, getting updates on my phone. Simply Cyber I live cyber basically. So I've always got an opinion. I've always got a take. I've worked in the industry a wicked long time. Many people in chat have worked in the industry a very long time. So there's always good opinion pieces and thought stuff going on. So we don't need to prep. Ain't nobody got time for that. All right. Now, I want to tell you that every single episode of the Daily Cyber Threat Brief, just like episode 605, is worth half a CPE. So take that. Do with it what you want. If you hold a professional cybersecurity certification and you need CPEs, get them here. Just say what's up in chat, hashtag Team SC, or say good morning, Chris Whitlock, like Alpha Sierra just did, and take a screenshot, save it off. And basically, once a year when you have to do CPEs, you just count up how many screenshots you have and divide by two. It's as easy as that. These are count for CPEs. This is an instructor-led webinar. I'm like, to add even more kerosene to the fire, I'm literally faculty at a Citadel Military College. So like, you want to talk about, is this guy qualified to be instructor-led webinar? Yes, hell yeah, I am. Come on, man. Plus, I've worked in the industry for like a million years. Look at all the gray. All right, guys. So we got a good one. If it is your first time here, if today's your first episode, please drop a hashtag first timer in chat. A wicked long time. Oh my God, it's so long. It's redonkulous. Space tacos, guys. If it's your first time in chat, drop a hashtag first timer in chat. It's great to have you. I'm super pumped to be here. I always like when the mobile studio's clicking on all cylinders and doesn't look like a proof of life video. I did buy a new portable coffee cup that collapses down. And I do want to say one quick shout out to CJ in Vegas. CJ in Vegas, this is my official travel French press. And it is kicking. All right, guys, do me a favor. We got work to do. So sit back, relax, and let's let the cool sounds of the hot news wash over us in an awesome wave. I'll see you at the mid-roll.
These are the cybersecurity headlines for Monday, April 22nd, 2024. I'm Steve Prentice. Redline Stealer variant delivers Lua bytecode by disguising as game cheat. According to McAfee Labs, this off-the-shelf variant of Redline malware gathers saved credentials, autocomplete data, credit card information, and geolocation information from cryptocurrency wallets, VPN software, and web browsers. It uses malicious Lua bytecode, that is L-U-A, for added stealth and sophistication. It was being spread through an abused Microsoft GitHub repository, which has since been closed. The zip archive that had been placed there appears to be a game cheat, indicating that gamers were the likely target.
Okay, you think? Okay, so a couple things here. All right, really, really interesting. First, I'll leave it on the infographic. Oh my God. Oh, so good. Hey, I want to say really quickly, shout out to all the first timers. I see Natasha Shetty. Hold on, do I not have the sound effect on here? Son of a bee. I don't have the sound effect on this soundboard. I'm going to need that sound effect. So, all right, guys. Drop the first-timer emotes. I don't have the sound effect on the board. I will be adding it. But whenever, for those who don't know, especially the first-timers like Natasha Shetty, Doug Barth, Ogundiho Daniel, and Matt Nunenlist, let me tell you all, welcome to the party, pal. I do manual sound effects when the soundboard is missing. So welcome to the party, pal. If there's a spammer in chat, let's take care of that, obviously. Thank you for saying first timer. I didn't even tell you there was a special emote or sound effect, but there you go. Okay, so let's talk about this story right here. First of all, infographic, love it, chef's kiss. This looks good. It says, you know, garden variety, redline info stealer. Couple things you should know. There's a lot to unpack here. By the way, in addition to providing the top cyber news stories of the day, I always try to give credence on how you can use this information or educate you. So a whole bunch of things. One, redline info stealer. If you don't know about redline info stealer, now you know, like Biggie says. Redline info stealer is one, I don't want to call it like prolific, but it is one of the more ubiquitous info stealer malwares out there. I'm not saying it's commodity malware, but when I was going through Flare, for example, flare.io, which I have a video coming out this Thursday, which I'll premiere and everybody will see it, but almost every single compromised asset that I was seeing was infected with Redline, and the data was on the dark web because Redline had pulled it. Interesting. So you've got to be careful. You got to be mindful. Obviously, a couple things. If you are a practitioner, it might not be that bad an idea if you have time. Like, I know all of us have so much free time, but it may not be a bad idea to actually get a variant of or get a copy of Redline Info Stealer, which you can get. You can download from, you know, VX Underground or Malware Bazaar. There's ways for us to legitimately download a copy of malware variants and run it in on a lab machine or a VM machine or something and just see, hey, what's up, Oliver and Rafael Flores? Welcome to the party, pal. There's a way to see if your EDR solution will catch Redline. Here's what I'm saying. Again, I'm a big GRC goober, right? So, like, when I constantly, like, whether I decide to, like, eat the bagel or the Danish, whether I decide to invest in this technology or not, I don't care how small a decision it is or how big a decision it is, I always do the likelihood and impact risk analysis, right? And I know it sounds ridiculous, but guess what? It works. It's good for business. So with Redline Info Stealer, the likelihood that someone in your organization is going to get infected by it is pretty high. Now, the impact, it's not awful. It's not great either, but it's not awful because, like, if you have multi-factor authentication, then creds they get may not get the threat actor access. Session tokens, session cookies, and stuff that the threat actor gets through Redline Info Stealer, they may be expired by the time a threat actually gets around to utilizing it. You got to remember, a lot of times Redline Info Stealer is... it's part of the ecosystem for initial access brokers and stuff like that. Like, at least in my experience, again, this is something that if someone has a different experience, I'd love to hear it in chat. But excuse me. With Redline Info Stealer, I steal a bunch of data, then I go on Telegram and try to sell it to somebody, right? Like, I'm not a threat actor, an APT isn't using Redline Info Stealer as the initial infection for recon on a cyber kill chain, right? Like APTs, like APT Sandworm isn't dropping Redline Info Stealer and being like, ooh, let me get what I get. No, again, so that's what's up. So if you run Redline Info Stealer in your own environment, right, and your EDR does not catch it, well, now you should really take advantage of that, right? So don't just take the vendor's word for it that your EDR stops the newest next-gen threats. Freaking run Redline on a machine and see if your EDR stops it, period, full stop. That's the only way to know definitively. Okay, next item. Again, to point out that this is a malware as a service, I mean, the idea of this is to get initial access and then sell it somewhere else. You can't control who's going to download this. This was basically taking advantage of a compromised GitHub repo. Again, another thing to point out here, the GitHub repo was a completely legitimate GitHub repo that had, you know, a legitimate history to it, a legitimate credibility, right? It could have been like, let's say it's like my GitHub repo and, you know, it's got a, it looks legit, you know, there's regular updates, posts, et cetera. And then someone gets in there and also posts malware. So that's how that works, right? So they're leveraging the social proof and the authority and the trust that the compromised victim GitHub account has made. So to that point, one, when you're downloading from GitHub, be mindful that that's a risk. Two, if you run GitHub, put multi-factor authentication on your freaking GitHub account, please. So someone doesn't put on your pants and then start hawking malware around talking about being you, right? No. Okay, Ken France is in the house. Good morning, Ken France. Welcome to the party, pal. The final thing I'll say about this, again, who knew I could pick so much meat off this bone here, is think about who they're targeting, right? I'm an adult. I play Magic the Gathering games, but I'm also have a, you know, a job. So if I want to buy new packs or like a new Outlaws of Thunder Junction drops, I'm just going to take money and buy what I want. But guess what? My 12-year-old, that kid wants Fortnite skins like you read about. Oh, got to get me those Fortnite skins. Ooh, new Black Widow Fortnite skin just dropped. Got to get it. Ooh, look at this pickaxe, Dad. So when kids who have, you know, limited funds and finances want stuff, they are going to find a way. I myself, as a younger person, downloaded stupid stuff off the internet in order to get like an edge or to get access to something. This malware right here quite potentially could target those individuals. Again, the threat actors aren't able to identify who's going to download this info stealer. So they're just, you know, rolling the dice basically Vegas style and hoping that they get a winner chicken dinner instead of a whammy. So be mindful. And here's the final lesson here. If you let your kids use your work computer, you might not want to do that, okay? Second of all, if it's your home computer, you know, if you're doing business on your home computer, like personal business, finances, like I feel like okay, so this is me aging myself. Like in the 90s, in the early 2000s, like families had one computer, right? It was like the gateway desktop in the kitchen, and everybody did it, whether it was little Jerry doing homework or his dad balancing the checkbook or whatever. That's what's up. But in today's day, most people kind of have their own system. I know that might be a gross overstatement and everybody's financial situation is different, but like, you know, computers are more accessible and all that. So what's up? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about with the Black Widow skin when they just released that. Like, true story, my son was in Massachusetts and he's texting me. He's like, Dad, log into my computer and download that Black Widow skin. I need it. He's like Dave Chappelle, like itching his neck. All right, let's go to the next story.
Comments abused to push malware via Microsoft repo URLs. The Redline Stealer story just mentioned brings to light the issue of the GitHub flaw that was abused by threat actors behind Redline. According to Bleeping Computer, the use of the Microsoft GitHub repository makes the files appear trustworthy, and the flaw itself, quote, could be abused with any public repository on GitHub, allowing threat actors to create very convincing lures, end quote. The research done by Bleeping Computer shows that the malware zip files are uploaded as part of a comment left on a commit or issue in the project. They write, quote, when leaving a comment, a GitHub user can attach a file. Instead of generating the URL after a comment is posted, GitHub automatically generates the download link, which allows threat actors to attach their malware to any repository without them knowing. End quote.
That sucks.
Miters.
Okay, so after just losing my mind and flipping out on this previous story about GitHub repos getting abused and stuff, and I still, like, GitHub repos can be abused, and there's multiple ways to abuse them, actually. We could do, like, a little breakout session on how to abuse GitHub repos. There's multiple ways. But the next story here, partners on top of this talking about, this is basically a flaw with GitHub. Essentially, you know, you're dropping links and comments, like, because you can comment on code, like, oh, hey, like, there's an issue with this function, or hey, I'd like a feature request, or whatever, right? Like, it's comments. And this allows for asynchronous open source software community, right? Now, here's the problem. Apparently, and this is such a early 2000s issue, by the way, this is like the OG cross-site scripting era. This is like Sammy Kamkar on MySpace. You can put something in the comments. By the way, youngins, you youngs, Casually Joseph, Google MySpace. It was a thing, okay? Don't judge. All right, hold on. We got a Taranurafanano. Sorry, Tara. That's a tough one. First time catching live. Thanks all you do. Welcome to the party, pal. Okay. So, anyways, taking it back in the Wayback Machine. Basically, you can leave a comment on a GitHub repo and put a link to a executable or a URL, and GitHub will freaking render it and make it clickable, I think. So any public repo, which I think my repo is public, right? So someone could abuse JerryGuy311, which is my my stage name here. Oh, you guys know Jerry Guy. Jawjacking. So they're linking to malware installers. You can see right here in the graphic. I know this looks like a word salad, but look, github.com, Microsoft files, and then doink, here is the actual file, but they add the, these look like two different examples. Excuse me. These are two different examples. They did a terrible job of like putting no caption on this, which is a pet peeve of mine. If you're going to put a graphic, put a caption. What are we looking at here? Second of all, it's basically, this is it. It's just a freaking link to an executable. All right. And it can be used to distribute malware. Microsoft is a Fortune 5 company. They absolutely have the resources and capabilities to correct this. I would be stunned if this wasn't fixed already. Okay. Okay, so Leo Nunez says, the clickable part is not the risk. The risk is for social engineering because it makes it look like a benign thing. But Leo, I'm confused. So, like, it puts a link in the comments, right? And they can run it, right, when they click on the link? The files aren't deleted from the CDN, and the download URL continues to work forever. Ooh. A threat actor could upload a malware executable in NVIDIA's driver installer repo. It pretends to be a driver fixing a popular game, or a threat actor could upload a file and a comment to the Chromium source and pretend it's a new test version, and the URLs would appear to belong to the company's repo, making them look like it's from Google, but they can't take it down. This is pretty gnarly. Again, Microsoft is a Fortune 5 company. They have the money and the resources to throw... throw at this. So Leo, real quick, I know Leo is commenting on this. Are you seeing this? By the way, Leo Nunez is a offensive security professional in the community. It's good to see him. Leo, just curious if you're actually seeing this in practice or if this is just one of those observed things that like threat intel is calling. Long story short, basically, you got to be careful. Unfortunately, threat actors, they're smart. Also, really quickly, for those who know or don't know, this is Tom. Welcome, Tom. Hi, Tom. All right, let's go.
Breach was through Ivanti's zero-day vulnerabilities. The MITRE Corporation, M-I-T-R-E, is a not-for-profit organization that oversees federally funded research.
Oh, yeah.
In a blog post released on Friday, the organization stated that it had been breached and reconnoitered by nation-state hackers in January. This group exploited one of its VPNs through two vulnerabilities in Ivanti Connect Secure. In the blog post, MITRE explained that the hackers used a, quote, combination of sophisticated backdoors and web shells to move laterally and harvest credentials, end quote. The organization said that it did follow advice from the government and Ivanti to upgrade, replace, and harden their Ivanti system, but, quote, we did not detect the lateral movement into our VMware infrastructure, end quote, adding, quote, at the time we believed we took all the necessary actions to mitigate the vulnerability, but these actions were clearly insufficient, end quote.
Wow, way to own it. Okay, so a whole bunch of things here. One... for those who know me, you know that I'm just short of having I Heart NIST tattooed on my arm, or just the NIST on my knuckles. Okay, MITRE is basically very similar. So, let me just take a minute here. Okay, wait, hold on. Oh, geez. Apparently, I didn't test that camera angle at 3 a.m. Okay, so check it out. NIST is a U.S. federal, you know, agency, essentially, but it's a think tank. That's what NIST is. NIST is a think tank, and they publish their thinking, okay? NIST Special Pubs 800 Series, 853, 837, iHeart NIST. Yes, look at the squad emotes. Love it. Love it, love it, love it. So I freaking love NIST. I've been a NIST advocate for years and years and years. I got interviewed by NIST to be on their 837 Special Pub, an 800 Series crew. That's a story. But MITRE is basically, it's a nonprofit, but essentially MITRE is the same thing as NIST. Like, I'm overstating it, but MITRE is basically a think tank. Also gets a lot of love, RAND Corporation, R-A-N-D, RAND is a think tank. And then SRI, or Stanford Research Institute, they, as far as I know, SRI doesn't do as much anymore, or at least they operate in the shadows. But back in the day, SRI was huge. Okay, so when MITRE and NIST come out with things, you listen. If you haven't heard, MITRE Attack, okay, MITRE Attack is a massive value for our industry as cyber professionals. It gives us great intel, great insights on threat actors, TTPs, you know, all the things, the MITRE Attack framework. So first of all, if you're new here, not new, if you're new to the industry, if you're breaking in, if you're just flirting, if you're just cyber curious and you're here and you don't know what MITRE Attack is, absolutely Google it. You need to know what MITRE Attack is. This isn't like a fringe thing. The MITRE Attack is you definitely want to know MITRE Attack. Okay. Okay, MITRE does a ton of things. Okay, so now that we've done the background on this, MITRE was breached by Ivanti. Now, the story here is twofold. One, MITRE, who knows what they had access to? Who knows what got exfiltrated by the threat actor? This is absolutely 100% all day long an espionage case. So, you know, you got to be mindful with espionage. Typically, people committing espionage, organizations committing espionage, do not want to be detected. Espionage is clandestine in many instances, especially if you're going after MITRE Attack. I have a suspicion who is behind this attack. I have no evidence to support it. Therefore, I will not disclose my suspicion. Also, by the way, I just realized I'm going to just double check. I'm going to tap the mic just to make sure that the mic is hot and not, I'm not yelling into this webcam. That happened one time, a long time ago. Okay. Hopefully that worked. So who knows what they got? Hopefully nothing too crazy. I will say that MITRE does publish their research and findings and stuff. So like it, whatever they found probably may have come public at some point anyway. So like lower risk. The thing I really want to call your attention to, okay, and this is being real as a cyber pro, MITRE has lots of resources. MITRE takes cybersecurity very seriously. MITRE did everything that they were supposed to do to protect from this Ivanti. Thank you, Jesse Johnson. MITRE did everything they were supposed to do to protect from this attack and still got hit. I want you to realize there is no magic button. There is no silver bullet, whatever metaphor you want to use. Listen, I'm never going to achieve this goal, but we shouldn't call our industry cybersecurity. We should call our industry cyber resiliency. And this is case in point. Number one, exhibit A. Why? You could have all the money, all the resources, all the intent, all the good vibrations and insights and intel on how to fix it and everything and still get popped. Okay. So hopefully MITRE, mitigated the damage done. Hopefully they were doing like, not data segmentation, but, you know, hopefully they identified the lateral movement quickly. They were able to, respond swiftly and get the threat actor out. But there's two TLDRs here. One, MITRE, you should absolutely know about because they're phenomenal, especially for the cybersecurity industry. And two, you can't be perfect. And honestly, that's something that you have to be like, at peace with, or else you're going to tear your hair out as a cyber professional. It's cyber resiliency. Hopefully, as soon as they got figured out that they were popped, they responded quickly. They got the threat actor out. They minimized exfiltration. They minimized data exposure. They were able to understand how bad things were and then recover quickly. So Jade Michelle says, we did not think large enough when it comes to the scope of the backdoor. I'm not sure. Who do you think it was? Oh, Andres. So, Jean, I don't want to say. I guess I'll just drop a hint. There are certain threat actors in the world that are exceptional at espionage, And MITRE as a target would be a really good one from a research perspective. The only reason I'm not more confident is because the Avanti Zero Day was getting hit by lots of people. I think North Korea was running around hitting people. So, you know, it would be speculation, and I'm not really down with that. So, all right. So J.A. Michelle says, but isn't Moore on the team for not thinking of scanning all systems and verifying integrity? Yeah, Jay and Michelle, I mean, maybe, but it's hard. I mean, you can't instantly scan everything all the time. You know, even vulnerability scanning, like, at best is weekly, right? I mean, MITRE's a large organization. Like, we can do this during jawjacking, for sure. Let's talk about it then.
A cyber agency announces Richard Horn as its next CEO. Richard Horn, who has a PhD from the University of London in mathematics and cryptography, will become the third permanent chief executive of Britain's National Cyber Security Centre.
What a nerd.
He currently works for the accountancy and professional services firm PwC UK as its head of cybersecurity practice. And before that, he served as managing director of cybersecurity for Barclays Bank, during which time he assisted the British government in developing the country's 2011 cybersecurity strategy. Horns will start in the fall.
Awesome. All right. So really quickly, I said nerd, but I'm being playful because I'm just going to say in our industry, I mean, no one's thrown direct shade at me for having a PhD, but people always are like, I don't know. I feel like people like needle me like in interviews or on panels about the PhD, like, nerd. So this dude gets hired to be like basically the U.S. Cyber Command equivalent director, as far as I can tell, this NCSC. It's the UK's like NSA Cyber Command Signals Intelligence, NSA kind of quasi thing. They just stood it up last year, I believe, or a couple years ago. And this dude, Richard Horn, PhD in math. Holy Jesus. Way to go, Richard. And something else. And he ran the show, dude. He was like in charge of something at PwC, which is not any slouch. And before that, he was, head of cyber at Barclays Bank. Okay. We're not talking about Jay-Z's Brooklyn Nets up in here. We're talking about Barclays, like one of the largest financial institutions in the UK that I know of. So if we got some UK people up in here, please let me know. But I don't think that running cyber for a massive financial group is considered entry-level job, okay? So this is cool. Way to go, UK Cyber Agency. You guys continue to rock and roll. Keep on rocking in the free world. Let's go. Also want to say, I see Kathy Chambers in chat. What's up, Kathy Chambers?
And now a word from our sponsor, Veracode. Imagine your intelligent coding companion backed by the robust security expertise of Veracode. Together, the ultimate duo, empowering developers to write better code while ensuring it's secure from the get-go. You can learn more at RSA Conference 2024 with Veracode.
Holy crap, that was a quick ad read. Guess what we do on the mid-roll? Guys, it doesn't matter if we're in the mobile studio or not. We're gonna not forget about you. Also, shout out, this is kind of a lame shout out, but I did watch The Breakfast Club on the airplane last night. Thank you, Delta, for having such a great catalog of movies to select from. I watched, I watched something. Obviously, it wasn't very memorable because I can't even remember what it was, but, and then I watched Breakfast Club. Okay, so hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the mid-roll. All you first-timers here, let me holler at you for a minute. At the mid-roll, we have a good time. We take a beat if we go get, we got to get some more coffee. I know I certainly do. If you're getting value from the stream, whether educational value, entertainment value, any value, networking value, then do me a favor and hit the like button. The reason that you are here, first-timers, it's potential that because on Friday everybody hit the like button, it popped up in your feed when we went live this morning. So basically just pay it forward and hit the like button. And if you don't, like, I don't care about the vanity metrics. I never go back and look at how many likes I got. I don't have time for that. I don't care. All I want to do is get this stream in front of more people who want to do cybersecurity. It's good stuff we're doing over here. All right, I want to say shout out again to the stream sponsors, Barricade Cyber and Delete Me. And also, don't sleep on anti-siphon training. Guys, if you know, you know. Zach Hill, Jason Blanchard, Deb Wigley. Deb Wigley's become a regular in chat, by the way. What's up, Deb? Guys, anti-siphon training is disrupting the traditional cybersecurity training industry. By how? By offering high-quality, cutting-edge education to anyone, regardless of financial position. They offer their students the opportunity to learn skills, practice what is taught, and engage with the community in a fun and inclusive way. 100%. Go to, you can see the URL on the screen, simplycyber.hop.to/anti-siphon training. That's really difficult to remember. Black Hills Anti-Siphon, they don't really come at me with how many people clicked on every link. So the easiest way is go to antisiphontraining.com. Guys, they offer free training from sans quality instructors training. Go to the training button, go to pay what you can training, and scroll down. John Strand himself is going to be doing the Active Defense and Cyber Deception course here pretty soon. I don't have the dates, but it looks like it's, where's the next one? Oh, I don't know when the next one is. It's coming up, though. I've taken this course. I have a video on the channel reviewing this course. It is exceptionally fun. I love it. I love it. I love it. Go check it out. All right, guys. Hey, Simply Cyber Community Challenge. If you would like to blow up your professional network on LinkedIn, there's a very simple, easy way to do it. I'm going to drop it on you right now. Go on to LinkedIn and search for the hashtag Simply Cyber Community Challenge. Brian Bates has the baton right now. Every single day, we have one person carry the baton. Brian Bates has the baton. So you can go on LinkedIn right now, search for Brian Bates, or search for the hashtag Simply Cyber Community Challenge. Connect with Brian. Read Brian's post. Learn who Brian is. Comment on Brian's post. Connect with the people in comments. That's one day, 5 minutes. Do it again tomorrow. Do it again the next day. Or get the baton. Volunteer to carry the baton today. Believe me when I tell you, this isn't a joke. When 2 weeks' time, 5 minutes a day, you will have a powerful LinkedIn network that's full of value, full of resources. Your feed will be dope. Dude, it's an easy way to network. So do it. Brian Bates, tag somebody. La, 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 la. What's up, Alana Boyajian? Hey, every single day of the week has a special segment before we go back into the news. And Mondays is Simply Cyber Community Member Featured. I want to introduce you all to Adrian Harris, a.k.a. Space Tacos. Adrian's showing up every day, sometimes on Slay Security Plus's channel, just actively engaging, sharing resources. GRC Auditor coming in hot. So go over and say hello to Space Tacos, Adrian Harris. Adrian, thank you so much for all you do. Genuinely appreciate it. Let's get back to the news.
Researchers find dozens of fake EasyPass toll websites following FBI warning. Researchers from cybersecurity firm Domain Tools have found almost 30 phishing websites that spoof the electronic toll collection service EasyPass. The sites are connected to a smishing campaign that sends fake text messages to get victims to download malware, share sensitive information, or send money. They say, quote, the messages use a state toll service name and say the victim has an outstanding balance on their account. To avoid a late fee, the texts say victims need to visit a website to settle the balance, end quote.
I wish we had the authority to just nuke those websites. Okay, so here's the deal. This story was in the news last week. I gave a talk in Columbia on Wednesday morning. And so this story came out Monday or Tuesday last week. So this is a ongoing malicious campaign. This is targeting, you know, hide your wife, hide your kids. Like, this is targeting everybody. Okay. And it's a lot of people are falling for it. So again, I'll say the same thing I said last week. If you care about your loved ones, okay, you need to tell them about this particular issue. This is going to get lots of people. I gave a talk to about 150 people the other day, and I mentioned this attack, you know, and I was talking about how AI can be used to, like, spin up, phishing campaigns and believable stuff. And I asked people, has anyone gotten this text message? And probably 10, 15 people raised their hand. So like, it is happening. It is real. And, you know, it's funny because it's like death by a thousand paper cuts, because my understanding is, I haven't received the text message myself yet, but my understanding is that it's like, you know, $12.51, $22.07, $8. Like, it's not big ticket. It's not $500 in Best Buy gift cards. It's not $2 million. It's literally just, you know, small amounts, right? Which, you know, if you use Easy Pass, if you use tolls, then it's believable. Like, yeah, okay. Like, it makes sense. And these stupid fake landing pages look legit, and they'll take your credit card payment all day long. Now, I don't know if they're set up as like a Stripe vendor. Again, you can't just like take credit card payments without, as far as I know, I mean, I've set up some credit card payment stuff. Like, you always have to like tie to a bank account. Sometimes you have to like know your customer kind of crap. So who knows? I'm sure threat actors have malicious infrastructure to allow them to take credit cards or, you know, fake Squares or whatever. But anyways, educate. Like, literally, when I get off the phone with you guys, I've told my family some of this, but now that this is coming up again, this is a story that's 3 days old. I'm going to bundle this up. Yeah, exactly. So BSEC says this, 100% agree. If you're paying them, you're literally putting your credit card information in there. I will say, though, that, like, just again, using the likelihood and impact analysis that I like RC brain operates in, credit card companies are really good nowadays of detecting fraud and basically reimbursing you, and threat actors know it. So, like, you will be giving your credit card out to a threat actor, but I don't think that they're going to burn the credit card, honestly, but that's just a speculation. I'm going to take this story and I'm going to literally take a screenshot of this story, right? Like, of the screen right now. And I'm going to send this to my group chat, to my one generation older than me, aunts, uncles, in-laws, et cetera, right? The 50 to 70 year old population. And just say, hey, listen, don't respond to text messages about tolls. Like, simple, period, end of story. You yourself, take a screenshot of this and just put a red, like a semi-transparent red X over it and send it out on your work email and say, hey, listen, threat actors are texting about tolls. Don't respond, period. That's it, right? Make it simple, easy, to the point. That's how you got to do information security awareness. I almost think, guys, again, this is I'm all like speculative hot take. Fussy. It's speculative hot take Jerry on Mondays out of Vegas. I honestly think this is such a clever attack. Like, my mind goes, like, I wonder, like, if ChatGPT came up with this. Imagine for a second, there's been a lot of things, people have done this. Like, hey, I'd like to create a compelling phishing campaign to target the largest amount of people while reducing the likelihood of being detected and having my infrastructure tore down. What do you think? Oh, I can help you with that. Perhaps a fake toll website. You know, like it has hallmarks of ChatGPT elements. I've seen multiple people, we got the sun coming up here. I've seen multiple people say to ChatGPT, like, I've got $100,000, or I've got $5,000, or I've got $100, and I want to create a business. Like, tell me what to do. I've seen multiple people do that. So this kind of smells like that to me. All right, let's go.
Of penetrating a business without touching the endpoint.
Oh boy.
Experts from that sounds Push naughty. Security are presenting detailed information in the Hacker News about the practice of networkless attack techniques targeting cloud apps and identities. Describing cloud as the new perimeter, the article describes techniques such as adversary in the middle, AITM phishing, instant messaging phishing, also known as IM phishing, SAML jacking, where an attacker makes use of security assertion markup language, and Okta jacking, in which an attacker can set up their own Okta tenant to be used in highly convincing phishing attacks. A link to this report is available in the show notes to this episode.
Okay. Okay. So this is a perfect story, okay? I haven't read this story or researched this story. I don't know where this story came from, but I guarantee you this story is sponsored by a vendor that sells identity management solutions, okay? Just a speculative hot take. Give me a second and dig into this. Let's see. I'm sorry to make you do this, but there this thing stinks of that. Hold on one second. Hold on. There's some other good things going on here. Ooh, there's some other good things going on here. Product-led growth. Is this? So, anyways, here's my thing. Oh, here it is. Yes. The latest data from Push Security. Okay, so check it out. I have no problem with vendor-sponsored research, okay? But when you read the research, you've got to be mindful. Here's the reality. This thing says, oh my God, networkless attacks, pushing the cloud's the new boundary. Dude, cloud was like the buzzword of 2019. Like SaaS solutions, like many corporate infrastructures leverage tons of SaaS. Small and medium-sized business. I do consulting for small businesses. Dude, small businesses, like businesses like less than 50 employees, some of them have zero IT infrastructure minus the endpoints. Okay, they're like all up in Microsoft Office 365. You know, they use cloud for everything. Dropbox, OneDrive, et cetera, et cetera. So the fact that this story is like, oh, have you heard of SaaS apps? Have you heard of attacking the identity? Yeah, it's called Zero Trust Architecture. It's been around for like, in the world of IT and in cyber, like it's been around forever. It's been around for like 5 years, bro. So anyways, to me, this is a story that's bent around a vendor initiative to publish research and cause a greater panic around a particular thing. So just be mindful of that. At the end of the day, the story is correct. Like if you're not thinking of your infrastructure as being extended into the cloud and why identity is so freaking important and multi-factor authentication so important and why Redline Info Stealer steal session tokens because federated authentication can create tokens and then, move around and all this other crap. Like you've got to be mindful of that. But this is the reality of where we live today. This isn't like a new thing. The other thing I want to point out, and I'm going to tell you, I might to steal from Casually Joseph, I don't smoke, but I might need a cigarette after this one. Whew. Verizon's 2024 data breach incident report. Oh my God, guys, pants off. If I can't, I'm going to download this today. And then I need like 30 minutes alone. This right here, Verizon's data breach incident report, is undeniably my favorite industry report of the year. There's a couple that come out every year. The Verizon data breach incident report is exceptional. Okay. Why, you might ask? Well, let me break it down for you. First of all, it is phenomenal as far as like content goes. Like they've got so much data. Verizon has so much like raw data to compile their insights on. Secondly, they have wicked good infographics all over the place, which are like legit infographics that tell a compelling story. Even the cover of each year's report is an infographic in some capacity to tell a more macro level story. It is written, they've gotten a little bit away from this, unfortunately, but in years past, the Verizon data breach incident report was written in like a tongue-in-cheek way. Like it was written by pros or cyber pros, knowing that other cyber pros would be consuming it. So it's like, again, they've gotten away from it. There's still a little bit of like cheekiness to the report, but obviously some suit read it one year and was probably like, oh, this needs to be more starchy. But if you know what I'm talking about, even like 4 years ago, the report was hilarious. Like it was good information. You could take action on it, but it was hilarious. And it's gotten a little bit more starchy. The final thing I'll say is I'm telling you right now, I haven't even read this yet. I haven't even downloaded it. There is definitely massive value in this report. And you're going to see an ass load. Sorry, Kennedy. You're going to see a boatload of news stories and research and everything else citing this report in the next month. Okay, like that's how grounded this report is in our industry. I love it. Ooh, Now, the other thing I'm going to say really quickly is that this is a link to the 2023 data breach investigation report, whereas in the report of this story, they actually cite it as the 2024. Where's the link here? Right here. They say, according to Verizon's 2024 data breach incident report. So again, there's a problem here. This isn't the 2024 one. This is the 2023 one. Ain't nobody got time for that. I've done the 2023. I need myself some new blood. I need the 2024 action. I didn't realize it was out right now. If anybody wants to, like, mods or whatever, or anybody wants to see if the 2024 is out, that would be sick. The fact that this guy is citing it would lead me to believe it's out, but I think it does come out in the beginning of the year. So good. Oh, so good. I'm serious. This, Alana Boyajian, this report is a printed out, get your highlighters going. And, you know, it's like Ralphie in the bathroom with the decoder ring. I'll be right out. Like, you need time alone with this report. Oh, it's so good.
And now, last week in ransomware. Last week saw a new operation called Ransom Hub, which is apparently derived from an affiliate of Black Cat, whose ransom from Change Healthcare was stolen during the Alf V Black Cat exit scam. This affiliate claims to have kept the stolen data and is now extorting the company again through Ransom Hub. This is according to Bleeping Computer, who adds that the Change Healthcare attack has cost United Health Group $872 million, with losses expected to continue. Last week also saw the Daishin operation claiming the cyber attack on Omni Hotels. Other attacks targeted chipmaker Nexpira, the United Nations Development Program, Okta Pharma Plasma, and the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission. We also reported last week on cybersecurity headlines on the Michigan healthcare group Cherry Health self-propagating ransomware from LockBit 3.0 and the fact that Change Healthcare data has now been announced as for sale. Have you subscribed to...
All right, so it's the ransomware roundup. Like, again, just to take a step back and look at the macro level impact, ransomware is so pervasive and ubiquitous at this point that we just have weekly roundups instead of, you know, there's individual stories, obviously, but there's so much. Guys, again, this is a yard sale, like literally junk drawer in the kitchen. Come in here, grab this story, find something that helps you drive your... Okay, I'm getting reports here from multiple people. The Verizon data breach is out May 1st. Hold all calls. Clear all schedules. I will be, you know what I will be doing? I'll be making a video, and it'll be suitable for work video of my thoughts on the Verizon data breach report. Just find a story in here that is helps you, you know, tell the story or the narrative that you want to tell your board or your executives, right? So, like, you know, be mindful of that. All the stories you already really know. The one story that I've been kind of tracking, the Change Healthcare. Remember, Black Cat Alfie did an exit where the threat actor group said that they closed up shop. They took the $22 million ransom and left. And then all of a sudden, a new threat actor popped up called Ransom Hub that came back around to extort Change Healthcare again, saying... with some more money, or they have more data, guys. Basically, it's like a, you know, it's like a big tough bully, like your thumper, your hammer, right? Like, the one who's like the your what's the word I'm looking for? Your like your A1 attacker or whatever, beating up somebody, and then after they leave, having like one of their toady underlings come by and like kind of kick the person on the ground and like go through their pockets a little bit more and see if they have anything. That's what Ransom Hub's doing. I have my suspicions that Ransom Hub was just like secondary tier actors of the Black Cat Alfie ransom gang that were basically thrown a bone with this extra data by the Black Cat Alfie primary team saying, hey, listen, like we're setting up shop. I mean, we're closing up shop. But here's like an asset. See if you can go pump them for some more money as we get on out of here. We'll see. Like I said, I do suspect that Black Cat Alfie will resurface under a new name, but the TTPs will be the same in probably 3 to 6 months. $22 million is a ton of money, obviously. But if you have a certain set of skills, right, why wouldn't you use them? I'm getting a... Okay. Oh, perfect. Okay, I guess my I just got a message from a contractor. Right. Need to pay them. Pay your contractors. All right, guys. So that's going to do it for the stories today. If you were here just for the news, I see 477 of you. All right, guys, check it out. Check it out. Check it out. If you were here just for the news, thank you so very much. I want to thank you for being here. Thank you, all you first timers. Remember, every single day at 8 a.m. Eastern time, we go live for an hour and do this story. We're going to do another 30 minute of what's called jawjacking, ask me anything. So if you got any questions, you want any help, it's all about good times up in here. I love it, dude. We're cresting around 500 on the reg, so that's super cool. Again, appreciate the appreciate that we were in the mobile studio. You guys granted me some grace with my, you know, basically less than perfect studio setup. Shout out to James McQuiggan at 35,000 feet. Shout out to Gary Sturgiotis, always in here. JP, DP, KP, all the at P's. All right, guys. So if you got to go, be well. We'll see you next time. I'm Jerry from Simply Cyber. Let's go do some jawjacking, shall we? Give me a second, though, because it's the mobile studio, so everything takes a second. Hold on. You probably can hear me, but you can't see me. Give me a second. The mobile studio is janky. Give me a second. Hold on 1 second. Oh God, bro. Hold on. Getting to see how the sausage is made up in here. Hold on 1 second. This is what mobile studio life looks like. All right, let's just do, oh my God, son. Oh, I don't even have like the cool background. Huh. Ah, whatever. We'll just do it this way. Chat, you're gonna... We're promoting chat to the main stage. This is what we're doing, okay? Friggin'. All right, there we go. It's just me and chat now. What's up, chat? Hold on. Okay, hold on 1 second. I want to put a caption scrolling across the bottom because people are going to be like, what are we doing here, bro? All right, hold on 1 second. Add. You are watching Cyber Security AMA with Gerald Osher H. Iyer. Okay, cool. All right, here we go, people. Let me know if you like the the mobile. This is what we got for the mobile studio today, guys. Did we get someone for the jawjacking? That's really the important question. Coming to you from the freaking... Can we get a better... well, it is what it is. Whatever. I'm in a hotel room. Just, we'll deal with it. All right. So what do we got here for AMA? Let me know if this look works for you guys. I mean, obviously, I'm doing the best I can. All right, when the Verizon report comes out, maybe a special edition of jawjacking. That could be fun, JK Illidelf. Treat it like book club, like the most insane, nerdy cyber book club ever. Everybody go read the Verizon data breach incident report and then come back with like two takeaways. Keith Sloan, hope you had a banger of a weekend. Guys, you want to talk about banger of a weekend? Me and Mrs. Osher basically ripped out all of our, like we had like some dead hedges and dead bushes or whatever in front of our house. And we, and like when you walk out of our house, it was probably like 15 feet from like the house into the yard of like mulch and everything. We literally like ripped all that stuff out, took up a stone wall, moved it like 10 feet closer to the house, bought sod, laid sod, dug. We got knockout roses. We got pentas. I know more about flowers than I thought I did or I ever wanted. Mrs. Osher definitely educated me on the flower scene. I suck at gardening. She helped me with that. We're talking 10, 10, 10 in the hole, fresh potting soil. Yard's looking dope. I did lift about 600 pounds of stone, not all at once, obviously. But yeah, so as far as a banger of a weekend, I went to the airport at 3:30 yesterday, and like literally at 2 p.m., I was still covered in muck and working, but the yard's looking tight. We're coming correct this year. Ooh, hey, Angular. Proud of my sister, got her master's degree. We're gonna give some love for that. Way to go. Nice. All right, Justin Rohrer, what's up? Love it, love it. Oh yeah, so, you know, things come in seasons, right? So now we're in the taking care of the outdoor season. So I think we're gonna do some stuff with the backyard. Ooh, the Buffer Osier Flow Studio, if you know, one of the cool things that we're doing, we're putting like lattice work on the side that faces the house. And we bought jasmine, and we're going to grow the jasmine up it. So, like, when you look out the kitchen window, you'll see jasmine instead of seeing, like, the studio. All right, here comes our first AMA question. Phil Stafford says, what do you do if you believe you've been connected or contacted by two recruiters from the same job? I have no proof, but it looks sus, and the first one passed on me for a small couple of things. Do I try again? Hell yeah, man. If it's the same job and a different recruiter's coming at you, definitely, Phil. You know, the recruiters are trying to put butts in seats because they have a financial incentive to do that. So if a different recruiter can do that for you, get up on it, man. I'd grab that in a hot minute. Hey, we need a community, Simply Cyber Community Challenge volunteer. So if you want to take the baton and do the Simply Cyber Community Challenge, let's go. Yeah, Doug Elsner, I am definitely not jacked. If you have met me in real life, you're very aware of what my frame looks like. Marcus G says, hey, what is your take on companies having a scope for pen test engagements? I feel like so many vulnerabilities could potentially be missed by skipping certain parts of the infrastructure. Thanks, G. Marcus, I think it's great having scope. First of all, if you don't give a scope, then, you know, like, what are they doing? The whole, like, so there's two things going on here, Phil. Excuse me, Marcus G. There's two things going on. One, if you're going to spend $15,000, $20,000 on a pen test, You want to define scope because you want to tell the pen tester where to test and what to look at. Now, that's if you actually want to drive cyber risk reduction of your organization. You have to know that there is a dark, deep, seedy underbelly secret that you should know about. Sometimes the pen test is literally because they have to, and they don't want a real pen test. They just want to pay a certain amount of money. They want to get the report that says they did it. They want to get their cyber insurance renewed. They want to get PCI compliant. They want to show to the board that they did, cybersecurity. I know so many organizations, okay? I'm not going to name them, obviously, but there's so many organizations that the executive team doesn't believe in cybersecurity. They think they're too small. They think that it's fear, uncertainty, and doubt. And despite all the evidence to suggest that they will get hit by a cyber threat actor, they don't give a crap. What they care about is the cheapest amount of money they can spend on cyber while putting on a good front and being compliant, right? And that sometimes is a pen test for 13 grand and just run a Qualys scanner on us and give us the report and then get out of our face because we're not even going to read the report. So, unfortunately, Marcus G, you know, in a perfect world, the scope would be like, oh, like we really want to target our most valuable business mission critical asset, or we just got this new tech and we want to check it out. But unfortunately, a lot of times it's just like a compliance checkbox. Mizero One wants to volunteer. Mizero One, let's go. Mizero One gets the baton pass. Thank you. Suyuku says, please suggest vendors who have good security awareness training platforms, gamification-based targeted simulation, user-friendly. Okay, so Suyuku, I will just tell you, and this is not a sponsor, although if Know Before wants to sponsor, I'm looking at you, James McQuiggan, at 35,000 feet. Know Before is kind of the industry standard for turnkey information security awareness training. Is it perfect? No. They're not a sponsor, so I can give you a completely objective response. Some people just click through it, but they do put a lot of money into really good videos and really good knowledge, and they keep it up to date and stuff like that. So that to me, Suyuku, just to give you one, Know Before is a great one. That's Knowbe4. I know a lot of people that use it. They're easily the biggest player in the industry. All right, look at this. We got a super chat coming in. Hold on. Rex Cognitos with the squad membership. Good to see you for 6 months. And what is the most severe threat to cybersecurity professional sanity? I don't know. I think the most severe threat to cyber person's sanity is basically not embracing the chaos. If you think you can control it, you're wrong. You just got to embrace it and breathe. Okay, CLX with the super chat. Thanks so much for the super chat.
Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
If you had just finished your bachelor's in computer science with concentration in cyber, what would be the next best thing to do? Oh my gosh, CLX. Easy. Thanks for the super chat. I'll tell you two things. One, I actually wrote a book. Like, it's a short book. So if you go to simplycyber.io/book, simplycyber.io/book CLX, you'll get this. But basically, you need to do two things. One, you need to be networking with people. Like, you're here right now, so that's phenomenal. Definitely network with people. Go to your local cons. Step out of your comfort zone. Network with people. And even offer up, you know, get involved. Volunteer for something, right? The other thing you need to do is get practical hands-on experience. I have a computer science degree, okay? Actually, I have two. Nerd. But my point is, I am well aware that the industry values and covets practical experience more than anything else right now. So the degree is phenomenal, but you've got to get practical experience. Do labs. Write up, not just that you did the lab, but write up the impact. What did you learn? How can you help my business with the knowledge that you got from doing the labs, okay? And then document them, do a portfolio, share it online, etc. I like this mug. By the way, I went for the most like outrageously colored mug, so I'd be able to find it super easy and know that it's mine. Okay, so let's go. I see some more questions in chat. What tips do you have for somebody with 15 plus years of IT experience, multiple certs and degrees, looking to get into cyber but not having any luck? Okay, so Flakenator. So what I would say is, for that particular thing, if you have 15 years of IT and multiple certs, then I don't want to call it a problem, but I need to know, are you getting interviews? Are you getting interviews, Flakenator? If you're not getting interviews, then there's a different problem. If you're getting interviews but not getting the job, that's a different problem. So drop it in chat and let me know, and then we can let's put a pin in your question. Answer that, what I just said, Flakenator. Are you getting interviews or are you not getting interviews? Because it's like a logic branch. I need to be able to give you actionable advice. Robert Rittenhouse says, we had lots of issues with nobody for at the state level in Ohio. They moved to something worse, LOL. Yeah, here's the thing, guys. Nothing, you got to remember, these like large platforms, they're not going to serve everybody perfectly. And by having a large base, there are some trade-offs, right? So you got to be mindful of that. Okay. What else we got? I mean, personally, I like doing my own in-house information security awareness training, but that's just me. I'm a total nerd and I love info awareness training. Okay, let's see. Networking. Doug Elsner, I'm sure there's a lot to Google, but what's a good type of lab to do in your expert opinion? Well, Doug, it depends on what you want to do. If you want to be a SOC analyst, do ERICAP. You want to be a SOC lab. If you want to be a GRC analyst, there isn't really a good lab, but in my GRC masterclass, I teach you how to do an audit. I teach you how to do a risk assessment. Stand up a CIS 18 audit program on your home network. Treat your family members as Carl, right? Treat your family members as employees. Treat your IT stack in your house as your IT infrastructure. All your laptops, mobile devices, your router, your home router, right? Maybe you're running a NAS server, network attached storage device, cloud systems, right? Audit the cloud systems. Do you have multi-factor on your Google accounts? Do you have multi-factor on your bank accounts? Does your spouse, does your kids, are your kids being made aware of Fortnite scams and the like malware cheat engines, right? Like, are you doing awareness training for your family? Like, I know it sounds silly, but like, dude, you have access to quote unquote an organization and quote unquote end users. You could easily do that. You just have to take the action. Pen testing, there's like a million labs out there on doing pen testing, Doug. So it really depends on what role you want. Oh, hey, Danny Bourbon. Yeah, I don't know. LinkedIn is pissing me off, honestly. Sorry, Cap. Like, LinkedIn is such a janky platform. I feel like they're jacking around with the algorithm all the time. So I'm sorry. You know, my advice would be go on YouTube and hit the bell for noties, right? YouTube is going to let you know I'm live. Jerry, is the GRC discount valid for the entire month of April? Nope. It was a April 15th tax day discount. Cyber Butterfly, I would say, in no uncertain terms, go to simplycyber.io/pivot, simplycyber.io/pivot, and sign up for the pivot kit. And maybe there's a discount code that comes around in there. All right, let's go. Flakinator says, I'm getting nothing at all. I don't even get calls, only get rejection notes saying they went with somebody else. All right, so Flakinator, here's what you need to do, bud. First of all, well, two things. One, because my studio's kind of janky right now, if someone can chat and drop this. Listen, if you're not getting the interviews, there's a problem with your resume, okay? What I would strongly encourage you do is go. I have a video on my channel on how to do this, okay? Like Google ChatGPT resume, okay? Go on ChatGPT, take your resume, anything that you would publicly share, okay? Take your resume, dump it into ChatGPT, say, here's my resume. Then go copy and paste the job posting you're going to apply for and say, this is the job posting. Then say, rewrite my resume to be optimized for this job posting. Okay, then apply to the job. It's your resume. Like you probably have great experience. I just don't know if it's being communicated properly. Also, Flakinator, I just want to let you know, in reality, there are lots of people applying through the door. This is why I tell you and tell everyone all the time, you need to be networking. Cyber Hamburglar, as an example, just last week, Cyber Hamburglar, your results may vary. Cyber Hamburglar, last week, posted in chat, he got a job as a tier 3 SOC analyst. He applied to 500 jobs through the front door, meaning, oh, here's a job, apply, here's a job, apply. 500 jobs, didn't get a sniff on most of them. Frustrating. He networked, and through three network connections, he found out about a job, and it went from, like, found out to interviewed to got offered the job in, like, less than 10 days. So, networking is incredibly valuable. I can't promise you a job. There's no like, do these five things. If someone tells you, do these five things and in a week you get a job, they're lying, okay? But I'm telling you, networking is where the value train is. So Flakinator, at minimum, fix your resume to be personalized and tailored for every single job. Also, remember, I don't know what your resume looks like, but it needs to be able to go through an application tracking system. So don't have like pictures on it. And personally, I think the resume that has like the left margin with highlighted things and then the right margin, I think that looks really cool, but application tracking systems choke on it. So you got to remember that like if you get like 2,000 applications, they're going to feed it through a piece of AI to filter it down to like 25 applications, right? That's another reason why you're not getting things, because the application tracking system might be choking on your resume. So a lot of things to look at there. Okay, what are we doing on time? 9:16. Okay, Cyber Sater, I just got a job as an InfoSec manager for a credit union. Dude, Cyber Sater, you're burying the lead. Nailed it. I'm in a hotel room, so I can't flip out as much as I'd like. But yeah, way to go. Congratulations on that, Cyber Sater. Any related fraud or theft or financial documentaries, movies, or media that you would recommend, even shows? Okay. Yeah, I mean, honestly, Cyber Sater, you know, listen, can I share my screen? Let's see what this looks like. Jesus, that's a hot mess express. Hold on one second. Hold on one second. There we go. Oh my God, bro. Come on. Hold on. Here we go. Can I do this? Where's the... Hold on. Of course. Oh my God. Like, so much wrong right now. Fuck it. Sorry. Okay, so check this out. Hold on 1 second. Listen, I love this book, okay? I love this book. I would recommend this book, okay? So this is not a cybersecurity book. And mods, can we see this on stream right now? Please let me know. This is not a cybersecurity book. This is Principle of Frauds Examination by Joseph Wells. Joseph Wells is considered by the American fraud examiners community as like a thought leader. This book is awesome. This book will tell you every possible way to commit fraud, which means if people are committing fraud at the credit union, then, you know, you'll be able to kind of detect it or whatever. Now, again, you're in a cyber role, so you're also focused on cybersecurity. And you can commit fraud in any business, not just a financial one, but obviously that's where the money is. I love that fraud examination book. I don't have a terrible depth of examples to give. I will say Jason Street, JaySonStreet. He is an offensive security pro, does a lot of physical pen testing. He's got some great videos on YouTube of basically doing physical security pen tests at banks where, like, I mean, he gets right behind the bank teller and stuff like that. That could be really interesting as part of your information security awareness campaign for your frontline staff, like your bank tellers and your bank managers and stuff like that. So hopefully that works for you and adds a little bit of value to your question. Frank Ramirez says, I have no experience in cyber, but I have my CYSA Plus and Pen Test Plus. Congratulations. It's very nice. I've done labs on Try Hack Me, Hack the Box as well to set up my own talk boxes. How do I land a job as a SOC analyst? All right. So Frank, good question. CYSA Plus, definitely a good way to do that. Couple things. One, for knowledge, you might want to check at Security Blue Teams. Security Blue Teams is a web platform that will get you training on defensive stuff. Second of all, I've got a video for this. You definitely, I know you've been doing the labs and stuff, but let me show you this. This is my channel. I'll drop a link to this in a hot minute. Oh, by the way, here's this. Here's the ChatGPT video. Here, let me just drop this really quick too. Frankenator, was it Frankenator? Frankenator, there's the resume one, y'all. So check this out. Here is the, so you want to be a SOC analyst. This one is a full lab that will have you set up, not a SIM, but basically an EDR, a victim machine, attack ed, post-exploitation frameworks, detection engineering and tuning. These are the things that are going to get you a job, all right, frankly. Let me say Frank Ramirez. So, Frank, here's a link. And then also, Frank, I want to show you this video as well. I've got how to set up a home. Where is it? Here's one on how to build a home sim lab. Look at this guy. Look at this guy with a pullover and a baseball cap. By the way, here's a little spoiler for people who are regulars in the Simply Cyber community. If I'm wearing a hat in a video, it means that I woke up and I didn't shower or anything and I just came into the studio. Like, I don't even have a shirt under this pullover. I got up and put on that and then came in the studio because I had a hot take I wanted to drop. So Frank, here's another resource for you. SOC Sim Lab, because you do know how to, you do need to know how to use a sim as well. All right, let's go. Ms. Julian in the house, everybody. Ms. Julian, amazing community member, blue badge, I might add too. Nice to see you. Ms. Julian says, Jerry, I have a friend who is wondering if they should go for CISA cert or the SEC Plus cert. Which would you recommend for an entry level GRC analyst? Oh, Jesus. So by the way, just so everybody knows, actually, I can call you Alexis today because I don't have the Echo device here to trigger. So Alexis, good to see you. Okay, so here's the deal. You want a GRC job, do you get the CISA or the SEC Plus? Here's the deal. I honestly think you need both. The SEC Plus you know, is basically like HR is going to use that as a filtering mechanism, and it does give you good experience. The CISA is, in my opinion, if I saw someone with a CISA, it would elevate it to me as a hiring manager that this person's a GRC analyst. CISA is basically certified in audit or information systems audit by ISACA. I had it. It expired, but whatever. I know about the test. I know about the cert. I don't know if you have to have 2 years of experience or if it's considered an entry-level cert. These organizations that have years of experience to get the cert, it's very flexible on how you define that years of service. Definitely do your research. But so, Ms. Julian, if they have to get one, I would say get the CISA and do a lot of networking so they can bypass that SEC Plus requirement. But if they could pull it off, I would recommend they get both. Jenny, how's upgrading Jeff? I missed the show for 3 weeks while in China. I was unable to get NordVPN to work. I did not have access to YouTube or LinkedIn. I was wondering if you have any other platforms that hold your content. So upgrading Jeff, no. So, okay. Long term, I would like to post my videos on a website that I control in case I ever get deplatformed for whatever reason. But as many of you know, I'm like riding lightning all the time. Like, thank God for the mods. Jenny, Kimberly, Jesse, Josh Mason, Base Case, Eric, Casually, Joseph, Joel, the whole team. And I always miss some mods, and I'm sorry, mods. Jenny Housley. Like, I just don't have time to like build a new website. I would love to do it. Actually, you know what? After this Vegas trip, since it's Simply Cyber Community members in here now, after this Vegas trip, I actually don't have any like committed work until June when I have to go give a talk to the state of Georgia. So I'm actually looking to buckle down and like really get the vulnerability management analyst class done and some other stuff, some housekeeping stuff. Hold on, let me just check my calendar. What's today? Oh, today's Monday. Okay. I'm sorry, everybody. Okay. Okay, so let's go. So unfortunately, upgrading Jeff. No, but all videos are available on replay. Kimberly Can Fix It has actually dropped this in chat. She said she bought this one and it was very similar. A good fraud book. I'll drop a link in chat for everybody. For those looking to do fraud or learn about fraud, Jesus, this is not Threat Actor Academy. We do not condone fraud. We just study it. Cool. Love it. Oh, actually, Casually Joseph brings up a good point. Again, here's another reality that I apologize for. We do so much at Simply Cyber that we do so much that I forget about a lot of things, which is really sad state of affairs. But upgrading Jeff, all of the podcasts are released on Spotify, so you can hear them. You can't see them, obviously, but all podcasts are repurposed or republished or whatever you want to call it on Spotify. So for everybody out there, if you want the Daily Cyber Threat Brief in an audio format because you like do it at the gym or you like want to drive or you mow the lawn or whatever, that's available to you. All right. Yeah, actually, you know what, Leo? Leo brings up Odyssey. I actually think I do it to Odyssey. Hold on 1 second. I set this up like early, like in early 2020. Let me see if I can do this one-handed live on stream. Odyssey. Where's my channel? I will be a monkey's uncle. Check it out. I do post this to Odyssey, so I'll drop a link in chat right now. Like, literally, I forgot I had this. I set this up years ago, and I just, you know, basically flip it. So, I don't manage this, so, you know, whatever, but there you go. What else we got? Will it teach me how to do fraud? Job market is rough right now, Brent B. LOL, LOL. Technically, it would teach you how to do fraud because you have to understand it in order to stop it. Good morning, all, says Billy DP. Good morning to you, Billy. All right, I'm scrolling through chat now. Let's go. Flakinator says, so the CYS cert is good to get you if you want to do GRC. No. CYSA Plus is good for like SOC analysts and blue team work. CISA is good for GRC analyst. Oh, Twitch has the live... Jesus, I am so sorry. Twitch also has all of the videos repurposed. I'm so bad at managing a YouTube channel. I need help. It's great to see... By the way, can I just shout out... it's great to see so many people back. I saw Pamela. Leo had gone. I hadn't seen Leo in a little while. Leo's come back. Joel Belton, I've seen recently back in the fold. It's just great. I know people are wicked busy, and they come and they go. And, you know, I just want to let you know, everybody, I've said this to a couple people one-on-one. But, hey, listen, I get life gets busy, okay? We will be here when you come back. There's never going to be any shade thrown that, like, oh, like, you missed... You've been gone for 3 months. You're not welcome anymore. Like, no. Like, we will always be here. I'm not exiting. This isn't like a blow the company up and then exit strategy. This is what we do. You know, obviously it generates revenue so I can pay my bills and stuff. But also it aligns with like my belief as a person and in the mission of like service. So, yeah, when you come back, we'll be here. Okay. Shout out to Jerry for showing. I don't know what I did. Did I show something I shouldn't have? Oh, Leo. Yeah, I figured something came up, Leo. It's great to have you back, though. Super pumped. I will tell you one time. So there's 330 people in here. If you're still with us, you're a long, you're a Simply Cyber community. I mean, you're all Simply Cyber community members, but hanging out for the AMA is a different. I want to tell you something that, just to be really, really transparent with you guys, it hurt a little bit. Okay. It hurt a little bit. So at Black Hat last year, I was standing there talking to somebody, and a guy came up to me and he said, hey, you're Jerry. And I said, I am. Who are you? And he said, I'm Name. And I said, oh, it's cool to meet you, Name. He goes, yeah, I love your channel. It got me a job in cybersecurity. And I said, oh, that's phenomenal. Like, congratulations. I was super pumped for him. And I said, so are you team replay or are you team live? Like, are you doing the daily threats or whatever? And he said, no, like, he said it so casually, like casually cruel, like Taylor Swift songs. He said, no. He's like, I got the job. I don't do anything with Simply Cyber anymore. Like, I got the job and I'm done with you. And I'm like, okay. Like, super pumped you got the job, but, like, damn, that stung a little bit. So, I mean, we'll always be here. I won't throw shade, but, you know, I do have to be real that sometimes, you know, Simply Cyber and the community is just a means to an end. But I do appreciate y'all being here and sharing and just the community in general. I love it. So... Yeah, no, I mean, it is, I mean, he could have lied to me, Kimberly, right? I mean, I guess he could have said, oh yeah, I'm team replay all the time, you know, but, you know, it is what it is. Yeah, well, you know what, it was harsh. I've talked to tons of people over the years who have, you know, been part of the community, but it was just so... Like, it was just so, like, bucket of ice water. Because, like, we were like, celebrating him getting the job. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's awesome. Like you can inspire other people. Like, it can happen. And he's just, like, real. So. And then he gave me a hat from his company. I didn't keep it. All right. Let's help more people. Instead of me belly aching about encountering somebody in person, let's see. True. No, no. Hey. This guy was. Come on. This guy was a good guy. I don't want people to hate on this guy. Like that's not why I shared that. All right. So let's go. Work from home is the dream. I'll tell you what, Flakinator, 100%. There's a lot. Hey, Flakinator, if you want to be a SOC analyst, go talk to Jess Bishop, Stacy Loki, Tom Pike. They're community members. Jess Bishop might be in chat right now, actually. I don't know if she is. But they work for companies that do work from home SOC analysts. You might have to work third shift, but you'll get an A-load of experience for sure. He might be watching right now, Variable X. I don't know. I mean, he would definitely know. Toastman, I'm not sharing his name, bro. Hey, I'm still new here, learning but love it. In the last 2 weeks, I look forward to working. Waking up at 4:50 to join live. Doug, welcome to the party, pal. Great to have you. I'm glad you're coming on the reg. And it's what time is it here? Local time, 6:30. The hotel I'm staying at, they've got breakfast that opens at 6:30, which means as soon as I end this stream, I'm gonna hot foot it downstairs. It's gonna look like Shaggy and Scooby. My legs are gonna spin in place and I'm gonna bust through the wall like the Kool-Aid man. Damn, Joel Harrison. Get some karma love up in here. All right. Yours truly, Saichi, is looking for that third shift. Guys, if you're looking for third shift SOC work, look for the big companies, right? Look for XPEL. Look for Arctic Wolf. Look for Red Canary. Look for Rapid 7 has an MD. Look for larger, like mid to large size MDR service providers. That's where you should be looking. Because honestly, SOC work can be really, it can put a toll on you. So, you know, do like a 2 year shift. You'll get a ton of experience. You'll get grinded. But, you know, then you can come out the other side and just crush it. No. Zelaya says, is it difficult to shift from vuln management to GRC? No. As a vulnerability management person, you should be talking to the application owners in the business anyways about fixing their stuff. You're probably doing some risk work with like, does this need to be patched? What's the criticality of these patches, etc. Hey, you know, we've got misconfigurations over here, fix this. Hey, we've got over permission stuff over here, fix that. So no, vulnerability management is a natural extension of GRC to the point where like my next course on Simply Cyber Academy is going to be a vulnerability management analyst class. Jesus H, man. Arctic Wolf hired someone with no experience at like a... Can I share this publicly, casually, Joseph? Let me know. Dale Faye says, 30 years in IT, half that in cyber. Simply Cyber has been the best thing I found for continuing learning in cyber news. Hell yeah, Dale Faye. Let's go, Dale Faye. Let Dale Faye gets a Viking horn. Yes, Dale. Love it, love it, love it. Marcus Kyler, yeeting out of here. I got to get going, though. I'm actually quite hungry myself. Just as a quick aside, I am in Las Vegas. I am filming the TV show. I'm going to the studio. I've got a runner picking me up at the hotel here around 10:30. So I'm super pumped for the TV show. Many of you know that Late Night with Jerry's been years, like not years in the making, but it's been a minute. So here, let me show you. Oh my God, what is this? Check it out now. Right there, look at this. Late Night with Jerry, there it is. So that's what we're doing here. We're filming my late night talk show. So if you like my style, get ready for it after dark. But anyways, yeah, the Late Show with Jerry. I'm super pumped. Really, really appreciate the opportunity. and working with Alyssa Knight, Mel Knight, Steve Hoyt, the crew up in here. All right, guys, I'm going to get out of here, though. I think it's time. It's been good. I hope you enjoyed the stream. Remember, tomorrow, 8 a.m. Eastern time, we'll be back. I'll be in the mobile studio, straight crushing it. Shout out to CJ. The Travel French Press, straight crushed it, homie. All about good times. Guys, be well. There's probably a ton of stuff I forgot to tell you about, but just know that I'm all about good times. Have a great day. Flakinator, I hope we get those interviews sorted out. Leo, good to see you again. Leo Nunez. Called him Leonardo for like 18 months until a guest on stream who knew him called him Leo and realized I'd been saying his name wrong. Valentino, you're so kind. Next conference I will be at is Black Hat Def Con here in Vegas. There'll be a Simply Cyber community meetup, just so everybody knows, at the Vegas show or the Vegas cons. And then I'll be at Wild West Hack and Fest. And I'll be keynoting the Wild West Hack and Fest. So giddy up on that. All right, I'm Jerry from Simply Cyber. We had a great show. This was episode 605 of Simply Cyber's Daily Cyber Threat Brief. Ask me anything. Hold on, coming in right at the buzzer. I got a job in cyber and I watch Simply Cyber because it's the best source of news. Keep up the great work. Thank you, LeGrot. Have a good one. All right, guys, I'm Jerry, your chat. Until next time, stay secure. If you enjoyed that content, keep the cybersecurity train going by connecting with the other Simply Cyber community resources. We have the Discord server that's lively and always keeps the conversation going. You can connect with me directly on LinkedIn. And also every single weekday morning on the Simply Cyber channel, we're doing live daily cyber threat briefings, 8 a.m. Eastern time, as well as Thursday at 4:30 p.m. We're doing live stream interviews with industry experts, and we produce videos that we push out every Wednesday morning. I'm Jerry from Simply Cyber. I hope you enjoyed the content, and we'll see you in the next one.